This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What advice would you give Lamar Jackson right now? Ndamukong Suh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Having been in his shoes and done my own deals, stay firm.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Find a way, if you want to be with the Ravens, to where it's a win-win situation.
Today's guests. NBA insider for The Athletic and Stadium, Shams Charania. MLB Network analyst, Kevin Millar. Three-time Emmy Award-winning actor and comedian, Ray Romano. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. And we are thrilled to be here on the air live on the Roku channel, not just because we love our partnership with the Roku channel, but it does appear that we just got the Roku channel its first ever Sports Emmy nomination for Best Studio Show Day.
Yes, indeed.
We're back, Mortimer.
Yes. Congratulations.
Congratulations
boys.
To everyone at the Roku channel.
I'm
going to
do what I did last year.
MLB Tonight, NFL Live. Pardon the interruption, Sports Center and the Rich Eisen Show. Hi. Outstanding Studio Show Daily. How about that? Outstanding Sports Personality Studio Host, James Brown, Reese Davis, Mike Tirico, Scott Van Pelton. Yours truly. All right, Suze, looks like we're going to New York in late May. Rich, and the rest of us.
Rich, congrats, buddy. Proud of you.
Same to you. Hey, TJ's coming over to shake hands.
Congratulations.
How about us?
We're back.
Double dip again.
Holy
back to back.
Smokes.
I told you.
Mike, did you pay off someone from Jersey to make this happen?
I'm not going
to
lie. I voted this year, so I put a little mojo in. And I told people, I'm like, if you're in our category, vote.
You. Congrats, fellas. Congrats, everyone at home.
Congratulations to NFL Live. Pardon the interruption. Sports Center, and us.
Awesome. Yeah,
outstanding Studio
everybody.
Show Daily and outstanding.
Congrats, everybody.
And congrats to everyone at the Roku channel. I want to thank them for their partnership. Yeah.
Shout out Roku Joe. Shout out Roku Charlie.
Come on.
Hoskins, Mitch, Jordan, Lewis.
Wow, it happened again. We're thrilled. Hey, look.
Hey, Rich, don't sound surprised, baby. Don't sound surprised.
I appreciate that. Act like you've been there before, which we have. So here's what we need to do. Everybody, when is this date?
It's May 22nd.
Okay, so block that off.
We're going.
Yes!
We're back!
We'll go.
Back in the New York
We'll
groove.
Go. And then, this time around, yes. We're bringing our own internet Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Biggie Smalls is there.
And we are, honestly, they could frisk us all they want. We are bringing drinks in there. Okay?
Because
we're not sitting there for 3.5
straight
hours.
Straight up flask situation.
Yeah, we sneak up a
honestly,
flask.
Honestly, the Emmy.
Flask.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you to you guys.
Thank you, Rich.
Congrats, man.
Hey, to Sean Mitchell at home.
Everybody.
Absolutely. All
and
shout out Jay Felly.
Jordan Sherrow at home. To Mike Hoskins. Mike, you could take different cameras because you show that what you do every day. Along with the rest of this production crew, Liz Wailed, and everybody that puts this show together every single day. Adam Chudwin is in the back. He is the first line of defense that we have. So I want to thank the whole crew. Wow. Okay. Let's go bring it home.
Hey, we fooled him for another year, guys.
Hey, man. To quote Nate Diaz, I'm not surprised. I can't finish the rest of the quote, Rich, because, you know, Roku.
I'm proud of you guys.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
And I appreciate that.
Let's keep it going, man.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, let's take one home this year.
That would be great. I'll take it. So I want to thank also everybody out there who puts this show on the map, because you watch us every day and you share what we do every day, and that allows our colleagues to covet what they see every day. And it is an honor just to be nominated, and for the second year in a row, a double dip. And I'm thrilled to be included with such great broadcasters. And I guess Tirico's going for two in a row, huh? So there you have it. So thank you. Let's talk about tonight, shall we? Let's get into it. Because the NBA playoffs begin tonight.
Huge.
Although
night.
The NBA calls this the play-in tournament. And the loser tonight does go home to host a playoff game. That is technically a playoff game, right? The loser tonight goes home.
Right.
But not for good. Just to host the winner of the 9-10 game that happens on Wednesday night. But that said, the playoffs begin tonight in the NBA. And it's all about, well, I'll let the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers kind of set the stage for you. Hit it, Mike. Hit it right there. The owner of the Los
From
Angeles.
From now on, yes. It's all about the Larry O.B.
Only one team can claim that at the end of the run of these playoffs, and everybody else who makes the playoffs, as also Mr. Bomber has so eloquently put it.
Toilets!
There you have it.
Like the Highlander, that can be the only one.
This is why we're not
only one.
By the
DJ.
Way, this is why we're nominated 2 years in a row. That's the content. The Roku channel's very happy.
It could be
only
one.
They're very excited.
Toilets.
It's all about the Larry O.B., and for everyone else, it's toilets. And who's in the mix for the Larry O.B.? Here we go. I know it's the play-in tournament. I get it. There are six teams in each conference that are already chillaxing, getting ready for their first round contest this weekend. But who is in the mix hosting a game tonight? But the team that everybody thought was, in fact, in the
toilet
when the season began. Because their roster was unworkable, and there was no chance to create a roster to go on a run with a chip and a chair when the playoff tournament began. Because of the new coach coming in and telling Russell Westbrook he's got to come off the bench and he won't be happy. And even though he did come off the bench and started doing sixth man of the year type stuff, it still wasn't working out. To the tune of going on a run for a championship or making a run in the playoffs because Anthony Davis got hurt again, missed the street clothes. And yes, LeBron James was playing way beyond his age, triple doubling, if I'm not mistaken, on his birthday. And then he gets hurt just when the team does reconfigure its roster. In a series of trades that did begin with Russell Westbrook being offloaded, only to have him wind up in Los Angeles for a Clipper team that is higher ranked and is one of the teams chillaxing tonight, getting ready for its first round series against the Phoenix Suns and Kevin Durant. Who'd have thought that possible when the season began, when we were all looking at the Lakers and saying no chance? And yet tonight, they host a Minnesota Timberwolves team that everybody thought would be in the six Western Conference sextet sitting at home, chillaxing. And they're the ones coming in without Rudy Gobert, the reason why everybody thought the Timberwolves would be in the top six in the West is because Rudy Gobert was added, and he's not there tonight because he couldn't keep his hands to himself in a huddle in the final regular season game of the year.
What a sentence.
What did I say that was incorrect?
I know, but I'm just saying that it actually happened.
Right.
I mean, really should have learned that in kindergarten, right? Keep your hands to yourself.
Teaching that to Cage. Don't hit our friends.
And they're without one of their best young players of the season blossoming because he couldn't keep his hands to himself hitting a wall. Come on. And the Mavericks, who were coming off of a Western Conference Finals appearance, sitting there as the sixth seed right around the trade deadline, acquiring Kyrie Irving. They pulled a plug on their season on Friday, and look who is in the mix tonight. Your Los Angeles Lakers, and you cannot say this team can't go on a run. Uh-uh. D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley shooting threes. Jared Vanderbilt. Mo Bamba, if he can be healthy.
Bamba.
Come on.
Bamba.
Look at the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in the downtown Hoops Dojo.
Lakers.
Here we go.
It's going to be interesting.
They can go on a run. And I'll tell you what. They win tonight. Get your cardigans ready because here comes Shannon Sharp and the Memphis Grizzlies and Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant and J-Cubed Jaren Jackson Jr. and the brash Grizzlies who talk it and walked it to the tune of the two seed. Oh my gosh, sign me up. And then the Timberwolves go home and take on the winner of Wednesday night's game between the Pelicans and the Thunder is the Pelicans are without Zion, and the Thunder without Chet Holmgren all year getting into the 10th seed. Unless, of course, the winner of that game comes here to Los Angeles, because Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards and the rest of that talented Timberwolves team will shock everyone tonight. Let's go. You got the Heat and the Hawks this evening. That's fun.
Yeah, buddy.
Winner of that contest goes to visit Boston. I'm sorry, I'm rooting for the Heat tonight.
Though
I chose the Hawks. I chose the Hawks preseason to be the team to shock everyone and win the East, yeah, just because I was trying to zig when everyone was zagging.
Yeah.
Let's roll. Fired up for that one.
Also, just like two teams with crazy amounts of drama this year. Atlanta does a coaching change and rumors about Trae Young and his future with the team. And Miami is just one of those squads. If they get hot, TJ, they could go to the finals. They have that pedigree. Jimmy Butler could just take over. Like we were saying yesterday, they have the shooters who could get hot.
Yeah, Manic said it's the same team that damn near prevented the Celtics from making the finals.
One shot away, a Jimmy Butler pull-up three from going to the finals.
Chipping a chair.
And Jimmy left it all on the court that night.
That was incredible. That was a wonderful series last May. That was incredible.
Wow.
It was. And by the way, don't sleep on the 9-10 game in the East also. Bulls performed very well in the last few weeks.
They should have been tanking.
Bulls finished strong compared to, obviously, the first few months of their season. And the Raptors have got scorers. They've got players. Is this Nick Nurse's potential final game on the bench for the Raptors? What the hell? How is Zion not ready? I mean, what the hell's going on with his career?
We're about to talk to Shams in a second.
Yeah.
He said yesterday, the Pelicans said Zion's not even close to returning to the court.
What's going on?
Unreal.
What's going on?
I don't know, man. I just hope it's not one of those situations where it's like, what if?
Starts tonight. I'm looking at the bottom line on ESPN. Will the Lakers win the West? A legit question. Chris Mannix, our friend from Sports Illustrated yesterday, said he thinks they're going to. He thinks they will win the West. And if the Lakers make the championship, I know that would freak out a bunch of people, but I'm sorry. Sign me up too, man. LeBron in the finals again. Purple and gold with fans in the stands this time. That's exactly what every sport would want, their all-time great scorer late in his career doing crazy things. I mean, that's what baseball got out of Pujols at the end of last year, right? One last little hurrah, although this wouldn't be maybe even his last hurrah. By the way, speaking of baseball, tip your cap to the Tampa Bay Rays. They started 10-0 now. The Yankees are four out already. They've got a four-game lead in the East. The Rays shut out the Red Sox 1-0. It's been damn near 30 years since we saw, 30-plus years since we've seen a team start 10-0. And they take on your Sox again today.
They're on pace for what, 162
and 0.
Wins? Yeah, wow.
Look at you. You're very good at math.
So.
You're good at math.
And again, also took 2 hours yesterday.
And I'll just say this. We're good at math, too. That's two in a row for us.
Hey.
How about that?
So I'm proud of you and everybody who works here. And thank you to everybody that keeps us coming back for more every day. And that includes our friends at the Roku channel. How about us? We're one for one for the Roku channel.
How about us?
Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah, I'm wearing purple. I'm wearing purple today.
You bring us on board and we get you nominated.
See how that works?
We're thrilled. 844-204-RICH. So here's our show. Shams Charania on the day that the playoffs begin, or the play-in tournament begins. By the way, in this spot tomorrow, Stephen A. Smith will join us.
Oh.
Yes. I'm breaking news, Stephen. You.
That's breaking
in
news.
Studio?
Oh, yeah. So it's an old Stephen tomorrow. Stephen A. Smith and Stephen Wright, the old comic, will be here. Or the longtime comic. Pardon me. Hour number two of this program, we'll talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and what's going on with them in the first week and a half of the baseball season. Kevin Millar, or as you would put it,
Millar,
joins us top of hour number two. And then in studio, hour three, he's got a beautiful new movie everybody should check out called Somewhere in Queens. Wrote it, directed it, starred in it. along with Sebastian Maniscalco. Hey. And you want to talk old school, Tony LoBianco and Laurie Metcalf is in this film as well. Written, produced, directed, and starred by the great Ray Romano will be here in studio.
How about that?
Wouldn't it be amazing if Aaron Rodgers becomes a Jet before he rolls in?
Well, we know it's not going to happen.
That's not happening. Mark Murphy, the de facto owner of the Packers, has chimed in.
I thought that was Del Tufo.
Nope. He has chimed in. He's a real owner of the Packers. Oh. How many shares do you have?
One now.
Attaboy.
You gave one down.
You gave one away? No, I had two. Left. I gave one away.
Oh, to who?
I had two.
I thought you had three and you gave one away.
Okay.
No, I had two. I gave one away.
Right. Well,
one.
We got to dive further into this.
Yeah.
But let us take a break here. 844-204-RICH number. I've got a top five. You know, Adam Schefter reported yesterday that six teams have asked for the third overall pick from the Cardinals. I tell you, the top five that should be on that list.
I love it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. This Emmy-nominated program here on the Roku channel and this radio station, terrestrial and satellite. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has three great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number two expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Alice and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
Shyam Charania joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network is back now. Senior NBA insider at the Athletic and Stadium and host of Run It Back on FanDuel TV. And we're just talking about the uniqueness of this field. Again, Kevin Durant, an NBA Finals MVP, is a 4 seed on his new team. He's still kind of just getting his feet wet there. You've got the Golden State Warriors defending champs is a 6 seed, and then LeBron James, an all-time great scorer, a 7 seed, and he could go visit the 2 seed. And a lot of people are thinking, and the Grizzlies, a lot of people are thinking this is obviously advantage Lakers this evening because the Timberwolves are coming in without Rudy Gobert. And walk me through the Timberwolves' decision to leave him at home, best you can tell, Sean.
Yeah, it was an organizational decision from everything I'm told. Tim Connelly, their president of basketball operations, he came down personally to tell Rudy Gobert that he was being sent home on Sunday at halftime of that game. And the same decision was made by Tim Connelly and the organization to suspend him for this one game tonight in this play-in tournament. From what I'm told, the roster, Kyle Anderson, who was involved in the altercation, the players, they were pretty much ready to move forward and see if Rudy Gobert can get back to the team and move on from that incident and keep it moving. But I think the organization, due to the punch, had decided that that was something that they just could not let go and just allow him to play in a game the very next game. So suspended one game without pay, team suspension, and the expectation is that their next game, whether it be the next play-in game in a few days or the playoffs, their game one of the playoffs that they win tonight, that he will be available for action, and then that will just continue. You know, we're going to have to see how that dynamic is when he's back in the lineup.
Well, the dynamic, because so many people are assuming that's just going to be a wrap for him whenever this season ends. Is that a safe assumption with him in Minnesota?
Well, it's a difficult one to make because of the contract that Rudy Gobert's on. He's got multiple years, significant money still left on his deal, and they did trade away significant assets, the 4 first-round picks, a draft swap, Walker Kessler, bevy of players to go get him, and to just move off him after a year, that's a tough pill to swallow. And also, are you going to recoup the assets that you got back? But he's under contract, Rich, until 2025, 2026. So he's got 2 years guaranteed and a third-year player option after this year. $41 million next year, $44 million in 24-25, and $47 million player option in 25-26. That's a contract in and of itself that's going to be difficult to just move and get a win in today's landscape. So I would not bank on that being a sure thing, no.
Shams Charania, The Athletic, as well as Stadium, senior NBA insider for both, host of Run It Back on FanDuel TV here on The Rich Eisen Show. You reported yesterday that Zion isn't anywhere remotely close to coming back for the Pelicans, even if they win their their next couple of games that he might so I guess here's the deal. Simple question. What gives? What's going on with him, Shams?
Well, right now it's really a conditioning situation, and anytime you have a player like Zion Williamson, his body type, the specimen that he is, he's unique, one of one player that we're ever going to see in today's NBA. 6'6", the way he's able to jump and move, and the fluidity that he has when he's healthy, it's very unique. And so when he has a lot of these lower body injuries, it's a matter of reconditioning, getting in basketball shape, making sure that he's 100% so that he's not susceptible to further injury and worse injury when he's back on the floor. So I think the conditioning, the gap between conditioning and body healing is still there, and it's a wide gap from what I'm told right now. And I think the Pelicans are operating under the belief that he will not be available throughout their first round series if they do get there, and that he's not relatively close to making a return. He's going to be out for this play-in tournament. They've already ruled him out for the play-in tournament. David Griffin, their head basketball executive, he said that Zion Williamson may not get there, as far as the point of being there condition-wise, and that he, hopefully will be able to start practicing at some point during the first round of the playoffs. But with a guy like Zion Williamson, there are multiple progressions he has to have and be comfortable with before he can enter the floor. And he's had multiple setbacks throughout his career already when he's been coming back from injury. So that's something the Pelicans have to be cautious with and mindful of.
So is there any frustration that you sense from the organization coming out of New Orleans about how patently disappointing his first few years has been with them?
I think the roster, there's been a level of, it would be great to have Zion Williamson back. So there's the only level of frustration would be is when he's on the floor, this is a team that's contending for home court advantage. So there's frustration in not having him on the floor, and that he so far this year, unfortunately, since January, has not been able to get back to the floor. But I think throughout the Pelicans and David Griffin's era there and his tenure there, they've been pretty hands-on in terms of being cautious with the way, the way they've handled him, and that they're not just going to bring him back out of frustration and out of just desire of him being on the floor. Because if that was the case, I think he would have potentially been back by now. But they're going to be careful with him, and I think we've seen that throughout his tenure in New Orleans.
And Ja Morant, obviously the two of them are going to be connected for forevermore. He's the two seed, or he is part of the two seed and part of the reason why the Memphis Grizzlies are the two seed. And he's going to have a front row seat, huge spotlight on him, everything that happened in Denver and his suspension, and now he's back. Is there any lingering concerns there that or he's turned the page, different guy, and the playoffs, he's set to make his mark in a way that we all expected him to, Sean?
No, I haven't heard any lingering effects. I mean, of course, this is something we have to continue to monitor, and
right,
something that off the court continue to monitor, but he hasn't been as active on social media. And I think that the Grizzlies organization, Ja Morant, the locker room, they they all wanted this distraction, this cloud to just leave. And so far, it has been gone. He's
right.
been pretty locked in. This team is looking like it's ready for a deep playoff run. You know, if they play the Lakers, that'll be a very, very interesting series. But all along, the Grizzlies organization, his teammates have wanted him back on the floor, and we're ready to embrace him with open arms.
Okay, last couple for you here. Paul George, what's his status entering?
He will be sidelined to begin the playoffs. They play game one on Sunday. He will not play, and I'm told it's indefinite when he's going to be back. He has yet to be ruled out of his first-round series, and I am told he is making some progress with his return from that knee sprain that he suffered on March 21.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a guy that hasn't progressed yet to contact and scrimmage work and all the like. I think a lot of his work right now is exercising, therapy. He still has a brace on his knee. So doesn't particularly sound like someone that's just going to come back in a week or so. I think it's still going to take him some time to ramp up, and I think the Clippers are prepared right now that they're going to have to play on without Paul George for okay. at least a little bit longer.
And what is your belief, crystal ball it, the MVP race, from what you hear and from your colleagues and what you think the voting will turn out to be for the MVP this year?
Yeah, you know, when I speak to players, I think Joel Embiid seems to be the consensus MVP in the players' eyes. Of course, they don't vote for the award.
Right.
But I think the momentum that he has definitely carried over the last month of the regular season. But when you look at the race, him, Giannis, Nikola Jokic, I think they all have a case for MVP this year. That's what makes this league, I think, right now, it probably at its most pure level, the amount of parity.
Shams, I appreciate the time. Know your time crunched. Let's do this again real soon. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Rich. Thank you.
You got it. That's Shams Charania heading back to either the Athletic Stadium or FanDuel TV. I can't tell. The players think it's Embiid. That surprise you? The players.
Interesting.
The players think it's Embiid.
They're on the court with him. They know how tough he is to stop.
They're on the court with Jokic. Yeah, they're on the court with Giannis.
So that tells you something.
I mean, doesn't it?
He's had a tremendous year.
Well, I mean, as you know, I've come around.
To what?
To Embiid being the MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Embiid being the MVP. And I know that there's two guys who have won it before and were just as great and are on one seeds. And then there's one guy who has never won it, who has played as great as he's ever played, and he's on a three seed, and I want to give it to that guy. If I had a vote, I'd give it to that guy. I really would.
I pounded the table for him to win MVP all year, but now that we're actually here, there's one MVP trophy that I really want him to win more than anything else.
Well, is that the Bill Russell? Is that what it's called? The MVP?
Yeah, the finals MVP. Bill Russell Award.
That's the one. Let's get that.
Oh, good luck, sir.
We got a chance, man.
It's going to be awesome.
A lot of teams got a chance.
You're not concerned about your first round series?
I, for the Sixers, not so much. For the Clippers, obviously, yeah.
Well, I mean,
you know, that, and for as much as I hate to admit it, because you've been so adamant about this all year, about the sitting out, the Clippers did it to themselves. You know, they there's no reason they shouldn't be the three seed right now, but, you know.
The Clippers did it to themselves, but the Suns did it for themselves. Who the hell saw Kevin Durant being acquired by the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah.
Anybody? Bueller?
That was right. Not on anyone's
honestly,
bingo card.
Like man. These Clippers minus Paul George and the Suns minus Durant, I think you got yourself a heck of a series here. Because let's dive into this here. We have a few minutes. The Clippers bench, the second unit for the Clippers.
Deep.
I would give them the nod, right? Over the Suns?
Over the Suns bench, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns are just a
totally untested.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally untested, and it's time for them to grow up. And you might just say they'll play the OGs deep. Durant and Chris Paul, deep. Can Chris Paul ever quit the Clippers or what?
Right.
How many times do they keep running into each other?
It's kind of crazy.
But the Clippers' second unit, do not sleep on them.
It's nice.
And nice. They do have their own NBA Finals MVP, and he's going to have to shoulder a ton of the burden, mm-hmm. right?
Which he's been doing.
He's going to have to do that. And Who else is going to have to stop? Like, it's Russ. Can Russ is gonna it's going to gonna, it's up. Russ.
I think for
Isn't
Russ.
Isn't that wild? Like, that's Russ winds up on the Clippers. And at the time, Terrence Mann was playing very well. And the conversation here in Los Angeles is like, why are they doing it? Let's just stick with the kid. He's doing very well. What are we doing? And now it comes time for the playoffs. And it's like, Russ can get him through.
Yeah.
But who's going to guard Durant? If Durant shows up,
Kawhi.
Like Durant. Okay. Then who's going to guard Devin Booker?
That's going to be a that's
Mason Plumlee's best friend.
That's going to be a group effort.
Norm Powell.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann.
T Mann will be on
it's
him.
It's going to be a group effort.
E. Gordon's probably going to draw the some time on him.
Which series is your favorite of the first round?
Holy smokes. It's hard not to say.
Let's throw Suns and Clippers out.
Yeah, okay. Hold on.
Throw it out. You know,
I mean, it's Knicks-Cavs. That game is going to go
another 4-5.
Seven games, and each game is going to come down to the last possession. It feels like.
I'll tell you
what. Donovan Mitchell might have a couple 50-pointers. The way Julius Randle has played, if he's healthy. The way Brunson has played this year, earned every penny. Everyone who scoffed that contract when he signed it over the summer, $100 million for a number two, number three guy.
You're with me. He
has been amazing.
Jalen Brunson has caused me to become a Knicks fan again. Honestly.
With good reason.
Watching Jalen Brunson has caused me to just put my... Dolan, what is it? It's not the wormhole. We had Neil deGrasse Tyson
said
it
was a
black hole. Right. Black hole. Just get me out of that gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Now then, there's two other series that are under the radar because they haven't existed yet. If it's Lakers Grizzlies and Heat Celtics,
I'm terrified of playing the Heat.
Okay, the Nets with their Dallas Mavericks have the opportunity to just shock the world, beat the Sixers. You want to talk about an unlikely playoff six seed? This team, all summer long, it was how. You know, how will Kyrie and Durant finally having come together for this team get ready to play with Ben Simmons, right? How is this team going to win it all? Because they can just win it all just by rolling their roster out there. Durant is the four seed with the Suns. Kyrie is sitting at home because his trade to the Mavericks with whatever the hell happened there caused them to eventually pull... It didn't work. They pulled the plug on the season the Friday before. He's out. And all the Mavericks that get traded are now in the playoffs with a completely recast team with Jacques Vaughn, who was the interim coach for a bit. Mm-hmm. The sixth seed was a Steve Nash coach team with Kyrie and Durant being the dynamic duo. And you thought when Durant gets traded and Kyrie gets traded and Jacques Vaughn, you know, they fire the coach. They would be the team on the outside looking in,
right.
Not already with their playoff spot secured. They don't even have to play in. What an incredible story the Nets are to be the sixth seed. But the one that nobody's talking about because it involves a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 12 years. A team that hasn't made the playoffs in 12 years taking on the defending champs with the sixth seed. Because Draymond hit Jordan Poole and because Steph was injured twice, mm-hmm. because Wiggins was out with personal reasons for a couple months and Clay was getting load managed and they couldn't play a lick of defense and suddenly couldn't play on the road.
That was the big reason.
All.
Couldn't win a road game.
That was the reason.
And despite all of that, Gary Payton II being reacquired, and then he's reacquired injured. You want to talk about a team that's reconstituted that nobody's talking about because the Heat is sending potentially the team that damn near knocked off the Celtics last year, potentially to Boston because they have a whole story, but they still are the same team, the Heat. Taking on the Hawks tonight. How about the Warriors? They got a chip and a chair, and they're the sixth seed. The defending champs are the sixth seed taking on that don't know any better because they don't know what they don't know, and it doesn't matter because they're so friggin' talented, Sacramento Kings. Everybody's sleeping on the Kings. I mean, I'm telling you.
Everyone's sleeping on the Kings.
Excuse me. You bet.
For sure.
I'm telling you. I was in that downtown Hoops Dojo watching the Clippers dismantle the Blazers, whoever the hell they were, on the floor on Saturday in the second half. My friend Doug, diehard Clipper season ticket holder, everybody in the Clippers, you were sitting here thinking, man, anything but the five seed. We don't want a piece. We would rather take on the Kings. Mm-hmm. And I was there the previous Clippers game that I saw with my son. Well, that's not true. Two previous Clippers games that I saw with my son was that double overtime Kings Clippers game where Malik Monk couldn't miss.
He could not.
And the son of Arvidas. I don't want a piece of him. De'Aaron Fox, that's the series of the first round that I'm looking forward to the most.
Warriors might Kings, be the Warriors. Sixth seed. Warriors have the fourth best title odds.
Because they're the Warriors.
And if Wiggins is back, that kind of changes everything.
Just you watch them win one of the first two games in Sacramento, and we'll hear the stat. This would be their 27th straight playoff series winning a game on the road?
26, 27, yeah.
A team that couldn't win on the road, worth a lick this season. Watch them come together and just become the Warriors. Watch
11-30 on the road this year.
My question is, why are me and your friend Doug not friends as Clipper?
I don't know.
I mean, me and Doug.
I think you've met him. He's been in here many times. So
let's go.
Here we go.
This is going to be so good, man.
That's our Rich Eisen Show NBA playoff preview.
Plus Kevin Herter, Rich.
Kevin Herter, who is on the Kings.
Who you didn't want to trade Kawhi Leonard.
In a fit of pique. In the midst of the early first half of the season, nonstop Kawhi Leonard load managements, and then him sitting an entire second half of a blowout loss to Denver where they just gave up. Yeah, one of the many games the Clippers left on the floor. Yeah. They just sat him for an entire second half, and I was just like, I'm done with him. Do you want him? I'll take Kevin Herter. And then you're like, nah. You're the one who said no, and then you say, "Well, you didn't send the trade to me."
You didn't send the trade.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't send the trade.
Glad I didn't. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more right here on the Roku channel, home of a Sports Emmy-nominated program.
Hey.
Look at us in purple. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Just showed on our Roku channel only segment a video from 2019 when I finally landed.
2021.
Was it 2021 or was it 2019?
2 years ago.
Oh, just 2 years ago? That's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that
oh, that's right. 2 years ago, where I finally landed a plane here on the Rich Eisen Show, trying to nickname in a dynamic star of the game in the NFL with a nickname, finally landed
the greatest victory.
Called Derrick Henry the diminisher, or the diminisher, as he kind of put it, a little very Columbus accent on the, which I overlooked because I was so overjoyed that he accepted my nickname of the diminisher, because he diminishes his opponents and he doesn't diminish as the game goes on. And you didn't sound very happy for me, Chris.
I take umbrage.
You should.
To that classification. I think having known you at that point more than a decade and seen you fail a time and time again at levying nicknames, I was in shock. And I was happy that it actually one landed. That a player was receptive to your prospects and naming them.
Why isn't Derrick Henry traded yet?
Great question. I'm still kind of surprised their quarterback is still there.
The draft is 2 weeks from Thursday night. Oh, the quarterback's not going anywhere. Ryan Tannehill is not going anywhere. Ryan Tannehill is going to start the season for the Tennessee Titans. Unless... Unless the next 2 weeks play out where they roll all the dice and they put all their eggs and draft capital for this first round and probably future first rounds in Anthony Richardson to move all the way up to the third overall spot if they're one of the teams that Adam Schefter, our friend and colleague at the Worldwide Leader in Sports, said was one of the six teams to have knocked on the door of the Arizona Cardinals to try and trade up for the third overall position. I imagine they have to be one of them to just knock on the door and do due diligence and just check out what's going on. Because Malik Willis, the kid from Liberty, who they drafted, I believe, in the third round last year, looked so unready. And you can't think anything but his performance left such an imprint on the Tennessee Titans that they have to kick the tires to see if Anthony Richardson is worth it and see what happens there. Or they love him so much and they're just going to let him marinate another year behind Ryan Tannehill and see if he's the guy that can take over the reins once Tannehill relinquishes, or they have Tannehill relinquish. My question is if they do go and move up from 11 to 3, you know what moving up from 9 to 1 cost the Carolina Panthers? So you move up from 11 to 3, that's 8 spots. Moving up from 9 to 1 was 8 spots. So look at what the Panthers gave up, downgraded a little bit, because you're not talking about the first overall pick. And you also, they had to put a premium in the Bears. That's what Ryan Pohl said. There will be a premium for you securing the top spot as early in the process as you did. And if I'm the Cardinals, I'm saying this is technically the top spot in the draft now, isn't it? Well, it's not the same as the first overall where you get to choose. This is the first spot where you're not going to have Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud on the board, but everyone else is there. This is my long windup to now give this pitch. If you move up from 11 to 3 and you choose Anthony Richardson and he is somebody that needs to sit and watch, and you just saw what happens when Malik Willis was forced in at too soon and too early and how that looked, although, man, you imagine if the Titans had beaten the Chiefs in that nationally televised game that Malik Willis started and then almost pulled that one off anyway. Yeah. But if you do that and you trade your draft capital like that, one way to replenish it, and certainly if you're already pulling the plug for future years or this year in advance of Anthony Richardson, why wouldn't you trade Derrick Henry and get a second-round pick back, maybe? Why wouldn't you just start from scratch? In all honesty, you got Hassan Haskins. Or, and you know how I feel about him. Or, and I know people might say he's not Derrick Henry. He's a running back who can be your bell cow. Trust me, I've seen it. Or, if you're the Titans, do you just say, all right, we got Tannehill. All right. We've got a good enough team, we think. But we're just going to pull the plug on Henry. And if it doesn't work out, there's Caleb Williams next year. Now, the Titans might be hearing this with their new general manager and the very prideful Mike Vrabel and saying, get out of here. We can still win this division right now. We keep Henry, let's go.
Which is, you know, not inaccurate. I mean,
why wouldn't you call the Bills? Why wouldn't you call them the Bills? Who wouldn't take Derrick Henry to try and just put themselves over the top?
I mean, there are a few teams who need Derrick Henry.
And if you want to flip him to someone in the NFC to get him out.
Philadelphia.
Well.
I mean.
I don't know. Philly's sitting there at 10. They can just take Bijan and be done with it.
Or they flip 31 and be done with it. I mean, it's a big price for Derrick Henry, but still, how bad do you want him? How bad do you want to take that next level? I mean, right?
I'll tell you the spot where I would love to see him. You want to talk about a different division, different conference. Why wouldn't Jerry Jones want to stick the star on the side of his helmet?
I had an idea that's where you were going with this. Because Tony Zeke Pollard, out, who you love so much.
Zeke out. I know this is total fantasy football, but what the heck? We're waiting for the NBA playoffs playing to start. Draft is 2+ weeks away. Would Dallas flip a 2 for him?
You, Rich Eisen, literally spoke Tony Pollard's starting job into existence.
Well, I was,
and now you want to give it away after for 2 years you pounded the drum for Pollard? Now you want to like give his job away?
I don't think Pollard's a 25-30 touch guy.
You said for 2 years he should be the number one back in Dallas. He should be the starter.
So
that means he has to be a 20 carry back.
But he's also coming off of an injury, too. Let's be smart about it.
Aye, man. Look, you're not going to get any argument from me from having
Derrick
Henry on the squad.
I get it. Seattle. I know they got Kenneth Walker, but let's go.
Ken Walker's nice.
He would fit anywhere. The Titans are a fascinating team. How are they going to play this draft? How do they see their 2023 prospects? How do they see anything else? You know?
Who's toting the rock in Tampa right now?
It's Rashad White.
Rashad White, yeah.
But he's just one guy, right?
Well, so far.
Do you know who visited the Titans today? Will Levis.
That's a good spot at 11.
Yeah.
I think he'll be there.
That's a spot. Will Levis also heading to Tampa, too, as well.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I can't wait to see this play out. Let's just keep everybody on the down low. And who's going to make a big trade? Somebody's going to. DeAndre Hopkins is going to go soon. Let's go. Kevin Millar will be joining us at the top of the next hour. Let's talk baseball. I've got a top five list of who should trade up for that third overall position. Ray Romano in studio and Mark Murphy talking about Aaron Rodgers. Still here on the Roku channel.
Rich, you're talking about By the way, I just
threw a whole ton of stuff out there Titans fans are just like, get out of here with a lot of that nonsense. But they have to be. This is the deal that we're thinking about. Or at least they have to be discussing internally, kicking tires. What do you got over there, Chris?
You mentioned the third overall pick that might be on the move. A former number three overall pick was just traded about an hour ago. Jeff Okuda.
Mm-hmm. From the Lions?
The Falcons. For a fifth rounder.
What the heck?
Hmm.
I like it.
Falcons.
Well, we're going to talk to...
Making some defensive moves.
I believe Dan Campbell is on the show Thursday. That's the first item up for bids, to use a Price is Right phrase right there.
Bite some kneecaps.
Okay.
There you go.
What the hell?
I didn't see that coming.
Let me see if...
In all honesty, Brockman, you weren't looking for Jeff Okuda.
Let me see if...
I wasn't even thinking about Jeff Okuda. That's what I mean. Number third overall pick just a couple of years
ago. My phone's been buzzing. It's been a lot of people being kind about the double nominations, but... I'm just seeing if it's Breer and Money Manager, Breer. The Stars, Don Weir, those Ohio State honks claiming Jeff Okuda being such a great Buckeye. Third overall pick to a fifth round pick. Yeah, no, they're just claiming Joe Burrow hanging out with the Boses and Sam Hubbard as Ohio State guys at the UFC fight. Get out of here. That drives me nuts.
I understand.
Why does it upset me so much? Life's great.
I don't know.
Kevin Millar. Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Whoa! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past.
Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now.
Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mulley, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat
wherever you listen.